Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Coventry Cafe, your host,
Poetic Lace.
And here's our intro.
Accept the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praising before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. This Covenant Cafe, come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic Laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians, listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever He says. So glorify His name, He's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Covenant Cafe. Man, we're here again.
We still ain't off the air. Thank God for that.
Before we get into this interesting stuff that we're going to be talking about, we go ahead and open up a new our way of gentlemen.
Okay, our word today, it comes from lately this week, not even just this week, but a lot of times here people have come to me, you know, kind of shaky. And when I say shaky, you know, one day they're feeling good and they're amped and they're hyped about some things that God's doing with them. And next thing you know, they start to kind of crumble or fall apart due to the circumstances of their situation, whether it be a change in their environment or something happened in the government or, you know, things like to that nature. So scripture, it comes from Psalms 118. And it says, Psalms 118, 8 and 9. And it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now, I share that scripture because when you put confidence in a person, now mind you, people, we are feeling, we are emotional driven. We are, we allow different things that happen to us to dictate how we are today or tomorrow or yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But God is the same yesterday, same today, and the same tomorrow. His word has not changed. So if you put your confidence in the God who is not going to change because of because the weather changed,
mm-hmm,
you have more strength. So my example to you is this week they put on the news the gas prices are going to go up. And say God
that's
gave
funny,
you a vision.
It's funny you say they're going up. Man, mm-hmm, it's already up.
Yeah, they're already up.
No, go ahead.
But say you put your trust in, okay, let me rephrase this. You put your trust in a God, you put your trust in gases, and but God told you that yeah you're going to get this job, but it's way across town, but I still want you to go away across town to get this job. But now your mindset is on some, man, I don't know, man, because I only got enough money for this week. I don't know about going, you know, back and forth. I can't do it. So a lot of people, they allow their blessings or their opportunities or whatever it is for their prosperity to go away because they have trusted in the things that they see and not the God that spoke life into existence.
Mm.
We just allow people to dictate everything around us. Oh, nah, you know, you can't do that. Like, nobody's ever done that before. Because some man told you nobody's ever done that before, but God told you to do something. Because you see a man and he tells you this, you disregard the God that we trust.
Mm-hmm.
So just close, starting the week off, we're starting our show off. I want you guys to keep in mind that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, because man will let you down. You know, God, if God said it, it is what it is. But sometimes man will lie to you. Man will say, oh, yeah, I got you, and don't do it. But God cannot lie. He don't even know how to lie. He's perfect. He is righteous. And that's what we got to start aiming for. Start disregarding all our trust in people and start really putting in God first.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. And it's funny that you say that, and you say God is not a liar. I remember I was reminded of this relationship that I was in way back in the day. Prior to getting married, I was dating this female, and this is pretty interesting to hear. I was dating this female, right? And she was like, all heads in, and she's like, hey, you know, God said, you know, we're going to get married, this, that, and the third, right? And then later on, she told me, this is not right, you know, relationship. You're holding me back spiritually. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. First you said God said this is going to work. Now you're saying God's saying this is not going to work. I think I need to leave you alone, because you saying God is a liar. And yeah, it was pretty interesting. And actually, I'm glad it didn't work out, because I'm with who I am with for a reason. But it's pretty interesting how people would say God said it in a heartbeat. And it's not really God saying it. It's, you know, them saying it, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it was crazy because, like, I had went to her church, like, one time, and I got out there, and people was greeting me. Oh, this is who you were talking about? I'm like, huh?
Hmm.
Really? Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
This is one thing I got. That's real about that whole situation, about putting your faith in man before God. Example, you know, coming up, they were telling me, you know, you need to just, you know, be single and just, you know, date as many women as you can, you know, get it out your system, right? And that's the man telling me that. And then you got leaders telling me that, you know, talk to as many girls as you can, you know, don't get committed in a relationship, or, you know, really telling me that, get it out of your system. But the Lord, putting my trust in the Lord, says that, you know, sin is a disease. Sin cannot be, you know, you can't quench its thirst. Sin is going to always want more. So you can't, like, real talk, now, brothers, y'all know, you know, you have sex with somebody, you know, it's not like you can just flip the switch off about, you know what, I'm not going to be having sex ever again. I tried it one time, and I would never do it ever, ever, ever again in life. Like, it's a fight. It's a battle. So for somebody to tell me, for a man to tell me, you know what, you know, talk to, you know, sleep with different girls, you know, get it out your system, get tired of it and all that stuff, and then you start focusing on getting a relationship. I feel like that was just the wrong way, the wrong way to approach me on dealing with that, instead of going to God's word. God tells you about avoiding these temptations.
Mm-hmm.
About how dangerous sin is, how it equals death. So it's like you can't get rid of sin by doing a whole bunch of sin, because it just leads you to a whole different direction.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, you know, if anything, getting anything out of this, it's important that we learn to step to God first for ourselves instead of stepping to man or seeking man's approval or their opinion. Because one day, like I said, say if I would have listened to him, and now that I'm older and I know better, I could tell somebody the same thing, like, oh, no, sleep with all these girls, get out your system. But now that I'm older, my opinion changed because I know better. Like, oh, the Bible says this and that. So any young man that I steer wrong, my opinion has changed. It's not stable. But God, this is what he's telling us. This is what it is, and it's for our best. So it's better to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how life is.
Absolutely. Yeah, and now, ladies and gentlemen, we have some interesting things that's going to be You know what? I'm not going to address. We're going to just wait till these people call. No, actually, hey, you guys know Mr. John P. Key is supposed to be calling in.
Mm.
Yeah. And the young writer, she's going to be touching bases with us as well. Mm. Now, I'm trying to get over a cold, or I don't know if it was a cold. If it was a cold, it was a monster of a cold. For the last 4 days, I've been, like, under the weather. I feel a whole lot better today than I did yesterday. And then I did the day before that, Friday, I was just done. I mean, oh, my goodness. So I must have had the walking flu, because that thing, I couldn't sit with that. That thing was, I definitely was walking with it.
You sound better.
Yeah. So I really, a couple of people gave me some hits on my Facebook page about hope you feel better soon and stuff like that. Thank you for those people that stopped by and said, hey, hope you feel better. Yeah, I just felt like saying that.
I ain't right, you. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I mean, you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
But I had to sweat this thing out, sweat it out, had a lot of cold on, and lay down, lots of liquid in the noodles. I got tired of ramen noodles, so hopefully I can. I really haven't had an appetite, so it must have been like a flu or something. Because I didn't have an appetite at all.
Hmm.
So, but I'm better. So what do you have for as far as what's going on in the world today?
All right, so I want to start off piggybacking off the topic we were speaking on last week. Last week we were talking about, you know, the police. We're talking about how in some communities, we're going to say the urban community, it's like, man, F the police. You know, they ain't got no place here. And the reason why we feel like that, because we only know them for the, you know, the harsh reality of racism, discrimination, stereotypes. This is something that we're dealing with. In other instances, you know, I was playing the devil's advocate as far as saying, you know, I've traveled around and I come to the realization that police officers are human beings. So under that badge and under that uniform, there's a person there. And some, not all police are corrupted. Like they say, one bad apple spoils the bunch. So I feel like we have to do something to change our perspective. Collectively, we all came together saying, well, maybe there should be some kind of community outreach. There should be something like a party between neighborhoods and the police officer, the police department, basically coming together, showing like, we're here for y'all, y'all are here for us. You know, let's work together and start fighting, because, you know, it's not all of us that's bad on both sides of the fence. All right, so that's something that we talked about last week. Now, it hit this topic. It's kind of funny, but it's not funny. But, it, you know, you take it how you want it. Basically, what happened is MC Hammer is arrested for officer obstruction. Now, what's the difference between me talking about any other person that gets arrested? Well, the situation is MC Hammer was driving along, and a police officer, you know, pulls him over, and the officer asked him, are you on probation? Now, the reason why he got pulled over is because he was driving somebody else's car and it was an expired registration. Without even thinking, the officer asked him, you know, are you on probation? And instantly, you know, your boy MC Hammer snaps. And the thing that's crazy about it is he went off calling him a mall cop. It went to another level. I touched bases on that. He went to jail, of course, and he posted bond, and he had a whole bunch to say on Twitter. You know, mm-hmm. If y'all would like me to quote a couple of things, probably not.
Wow.
One thing he said is, you know, I can quote him on this. He said, I will not answer his questions contrary to his personal beliefs. All people of color are not on parole or probation, fat boy. Adding, this was a teachable moment and an eye-opener. Another quote he said was, the only thing more dangerous than a scared man with a gun is a scared man with an agenda, a gun, and a badge. Now, the thing about this thing, like, of course, you know, we all deal with our stereotypes, but the reason why I selected this article is because really think about this situation. True enough, the officer did come at him sideways for saying, are you on parole, for asking that question. True. But the thing is, look how he handled it. No, that
yeah.
If you don't take your mall cop looking, you know what I mean? He took off. He took off on him. And I'm saying, really, look, he went to jail after that. Now, a lot of us, we have done with the, you know, police officers poking at us. But the way we've handled it, you know, on my end, I mean, it didn't get me tossed in jail. So who could you say is wrong in this situation?
Well,
a lot of times we look at it. No, before you talk, because I know you got something to say. A lot of times we look at it from one view, like, you know, he came at me sideways, so I had to let him have it. But we should know, like, okay, still, he's still in a position of the law, of authority. And on top of that, like, the man still got to do his job. It's still protocol that we got to go through it. And you, by you snapping, what is it going to change? You going off. But I got to let him hear my mind. Your mind got you through in jail, and now you're dealing with court fees and all kind of stuff that we could have avoided if you would just go ahead and go with the procedure. Go on with the procedure, and we can handle this. You got his badge number. We can take care of this, you know, another day with lawyers and everything. Some kind of security with you. But no. And on top of that, you are kind of the one in the wrong because the registration is expired. So that's just law. You got pulled over. You got pulled over. Let's handle this. Go ahead, Lamont.
Okay, now let me understand this, because I did read some of it. I didn't read it in detail.
Uh-huh.
So the cop pulled him over.
Okay, right.
Was he speeding? Or it was just a random stop?
The cop pulled him over. Okay, let's hit that extra thing from there. Police in Dublin, East Oakland said Hammer was in a vehicle with expired registration and he was not the registered owner. So that's why we have to stop.
But, okay, I'm no lawyer, but, okay, how can you, okay, he was pulled over for from this lag right here. Okay, this gentleman, registration was wrong, I mean, expired.
Mm-hmm.
So he got pulled over for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's pulled over, the cop actually told him.
So after asking Hammer who registered owner was, he became very argumentative and refused to answer the officer's questions.
Hold on 1 second. We have a caller on. Caller, line one. You're on the air, coming to cafe. Caller?
That one button.
It was the one button.
That one button.
Okay, maybe they'll call back. So he became belligerent and refused to see that Tamer's fault because, I mean, like, regardless, you got pulled over. If they profiled you, you can't get in the way to stand there on bottom line. So if you want to win that fight, you can't be going off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was listening to You Can't Touch This.
And they definitely mentioned that in the article, which is irrelevant to what we
Yeah.
The points they throw in there, MC Hammer thought he could not be he could not be
this
safe.
Was a hot. Okay, hold on. They called back. Hold on 1 second. Let's try it again. Caller, you're on the air. This is the Covenant Cafe. Hello? Okay, we're having issues again. Caller, you're on the air. Okay. I think it's that one button again.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I think it's that one button again. But, I mean, you can't go spastic. I mean, like, you got to think about it on both sides. Yeah, the cop was wrong for making those assumptions, absolutely. but you lose everything once you start acting the fool. So, yeah, you know, there's nothing I can say about that. I mean, the hammer, please don't cut him. Please don't hurt him, hammer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, if nothing else, I mean, once you, like I said, once you mess it up and you go spastic on them, and now you're wrong. You know, that's what it is.
Continuing on, U.S. Special Forces ordered out of Providence. The Afghan president says it is nothing that Americans have done, but they must leave within 2 weeks. To give y'all more details of basically what's going on, you know, I love to give world news so we can be more alert about what's going on in the world instead of just our neck of the woods. Afghanistan's president on Sunday ordered all U.S. special forces to leave a strategically important eastern province within 2 weeks because of allegations that Afghans working with them are torturing and abusing other Afghans.
Wow.
So the issue, though, that some people are speculating is that there's something bigger at work. There's something going on behind scenes. There's something that, like, let's throw out an example. Let's say, now they're lying. Afghan, they're lying. They got something to hide, so they want to get us out of there. And then you got some that's, and, you know, we haven't on the U.S. side. You know, we are, if I quote, I think that works. We take all allegations of misconduct seriously and go to great lengths to determine the facts surrounding them. So it's like we don't want to really leave, but we're trying to figure out what's going on. But at the same time, Afghans are like, we don't want you here because it's not right. It's not better.
Mm.
You have all the suicide bombers that have been targeting the Afghanistan's intelligence agencies and other security forces. So you have, it's a lot going on that end of the fence as well. So definitely I feel that it's very important that we just, not even, it's not the fact that we can do something or we are going to do something. But it's the fact that we are alert of what's going on around the world. So definitely have to share that. Continuing on. Now, this is definitely something worth talking about. And I know you might have something to say about it, Lamont. That's why I hit it on the head. I know you've heard about the Pope getting ready to step down. The Pope is preparing to step down. He's giving his sermon. Now, the thing that's crazy about it, rumors are saying that the Pope is stepping down because of all the sex scandals. Now, my whole thing about it is I don't ever feel that, regardless, even if the leadership is terrible, you know, you should not speak down about your leaders openly like that. But there's always been a lot of scandal and all kinds of crazy stuff going on in the Catholic belief because they're saying that the priest and the Pope and everything, they're sleeping with little boys and all kind of crazy stuff. But in this instance, they're saying that men are being prostituted.
Wow.
Men are being prostituted in there. It's a tough thing. But what is your take on it? Like, how are you feeling towards?
It's always, always had a issue with sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very, very interesting that it's always the Catholic Church. Not saying it should be any church. It's got to be something that's internally, definitely sick in the Catholic Church. At the same time, the Catholic Church is a very powerful entity.
Right.
And you constantly hear jokes about Catholics and boys, news stories about Catholics and boys. No, I think you should never talk about someone openly like that, but I think the proper thing for him to do was to step down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would rather step down in that circumstance or any circumstances before getting taken down, if that makes sense. Because
the thing is, the problem with it is people feel that he's lying in some sense. He's stepping down, and I quote, The Lord is calling me to go to the top of the hill to dedicate myself once more to prayer and meditation, he said, but this does not mean to abandon the church. His last sermon, the sermon that he gave, the sermon was dealing with about Jesus when Jesus transfigured on the mountain when he brought his three disciples with him and he transfigured, you know, he became light and, you know, Moses and Elijah came down. This was the sermon that was preached. And then he compared himself to that. This is what the Lord is calling me to do now, to sit back and to come on the hill and this and that. So you got people who are like, man, he's lying. It's the gate. So, you know, he know about it. And then you have the other people like, you know what, I'm behind my leader. And if he's saying God is calling him into a place of seclusion, then that's what it is.
Well, I mean, like, the bottom line is, I mean, then again, it could be forced out of there. They probably saying, look, man, you need to step down before we go forward with whatever we have.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of times when those big leaders step down like that, it's a reason. And it usually comes out later, of course.
Of course.
When they say, oh, did you know this is what happened? X, Y, Z. And you're like, oh, really? You know, it wasn't such a fake step. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was more of a, okay, you need to leave or we going to handle it in a different manner.
And what's so real about this is what I've been learning this week, not even talking about the Pope situation now, but something similar, getting to the root of it. Mm. You ever dealt with somebody and they tell you, like, this is why I'm going to leave and I'm done. Or it's just too much going on here. I can't handle this. I've learned after counseling different people and also talking to one of my mentors about going past all that surface stuff. I'm so frustrated. I can't stand how y'all act around here. Well, why? What's really making you frustrated? You know, you're just talking. Well, what's really good? Really getting deep down inside there instead of just entertaining. Because, you know, a lot of people, example, people come to you, Lamont, can you pray for me? I just pray that, you know, things get better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of just doing that same old, all right, well, Lord, just bless them and help them get through this. Instead of that same old prayer. Well, you know what? Let's get to the root of this. Let's talk about it so we can find out how you got into this position, and let's walk our way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of the same old, God, we need a miracle right now. Well, the thing is, you dug yourself into this hole, and it's not, no, God is faithful to pull us out of these holes. But the thing is, why do you keep winding back up into these holes? We got to start getting to the root of it. You keep winding in these holes because you're greedy.
Mm-hmm.
You gambled your house away. That's, you know, little things like that really getting in thick instead of the surface stuff. And I feel like, you know, even dealing with leadership, the things that are happening in leadership, like you said, we start to learn that, you know, it wasn't just a faith step. Your hand was forced into that because of prior incidents.
Mm.
So even in everyday life, you know, we got to stop. It's funny that it went this way, but we have to stop. You know, just we always put it on God and we always put it on Satan. We always do that. It ain't nothing to it. Yeah, I just believe the Lord is calling me away from people. You want me to stop talking to people so and start doing my own thing? What? No, why would the Lord call you into that? Is it because you have insecurities about rejection? Are they not accepting your ideas? Are you not patient? You know, really start getting to the thick of it. Then other times you got people. You know, Satan always busy, man. He holding me back. But Satan is bringing all these women to my house. Well, how did they get to your house? Like, what, did you make the phone calls? Did you allow your phone calls? Did Satan pick up your phone and call his women over? Like, what's really going on? So instead of that surface prayer, like, you know what, you're not, this person's not the bad guys. It's obviously a spirit on them. Instead of that same old, I can't even think of a good word for it. Instead of that same old miracle prayer, it's like we got to start really getting to the root of these things. We got to start really walking it out instead of just, you know, throwing a rug over it, because that's truthfully what we're doing. Well, you know, I prayed about it, and the rest is in the Lord's hands. Well, then why did God give us free will? If we're supposed to just have this magical prayer that we don't do nothing, like the Bible speaks on faith without works is dead, so I'm believing that God is going to guide me through this, but my faith is strengthened by my works. I'm working towards this. I, I'm putting myself in a position. Example, I believe God is going to give me a job. People say, God's going to give me a job. Okay, what did you do? A resume. Are you looking for jobs? All right, what are you doing to support your faith? Instead of just throw a rug over it, God's got me, and you don't do nothing?
Okay, hold on. We got to go to our line again. Hopefully we can get this one through. Caller, you're on the air. They're coming to the cafe.
Good evening. It's Latera Williams.
Good evening.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, got to give her a gift. We got to give her a gift.
You know what? We definitely got to give you a recession-proof gift. And especially in this hard times with the high gas costs, it is how much is the gas in your area?
How much is it? I think it's about $3.76 per gallon.
Wow! But okay, that's crazy. But let me tell you what, we got something for you. Yeah. That's our recession-proof gift right there.
Thank you.
So, before we even go into it, I know this young lady personally. I'm going to tell you something real funny. Since I know her, I can say this on the air. So, I'm in 10th grade. We both had hoop dreams. I had one of the biggest crushes on her.
Wow.
True story. Who would have known she was going to be a future best-selling art writer? I would never knew it. But I definitely had a big crush on her. And so to have her on the show is like, wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I'm going to be conducting the interview with you.
Okay.
For starters, I'm going to pretend. We all are going to pretend. There was no promotions. There was no tweets. There was nothing. I didn't even read your bio. To be honest with you, I didn't even know you when I went to school with you. I don't know nothing about you. I don't even know where you're at now. So we want to know, who is Ms. Latera Williams?
Who are you? Who's a strange lady?
Well, like you said, I'm a future best-selling author. I was born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida. Writing was always a dream of mine. I actually started writing as a secret when I was about 12 years old. And like you said, basketball was actually my first dream. But I actually discovered that writing was my purpose. So when I turned 18, got ready to go to college at Florida State in Tallahassee, majored in creative writing, actually started developing my craft and falling in love with it and understanding the concept of what it means to be an actual writer. So after I graduated in 2008, came back to Jacksonville and just started building my writing portfolio, networking with other writers, trying to learn more about the industry and how to get published. But it wasn't until August 2011, so it took me 3 whole years to actually just build my brand and my own company. I started my company in August 2011, I Write For You. And it's a writing, proofreading, editing, and publishing company. So I do everything under the writing umbrella. Actually just published my first poetry book on December 12th, 12/12/12. And I've been actually trying to push that mostly while continuing to promote my services and finish my novel that's coming out this summer. So I really am a future best-selling author. Writing is my life. It's my purpose. And it's really what I was born to do.
Yes, So with all this that you're saying, you started your company, you went to college and everything like that. A lot of our listeners, they want to know some of your challenges of getting your own business started, getting a book published, basically persevering through. You know, there's a lot of people that say, why are you doing it? You don't need to do it. There's plenty of writers out there. Can you talk about some of your challenges that you had to persevere through?
Well, other than financially, just personally trying to develop my confidence and believing in myself, first of all, that's the first step, believing that you can do what it is you set your mind to, developing a plan and sticking to that plan no matter how hard it gets, just building relationships and networking with other people who have the wisdom and the knowledge to guide you along the way. I think the biggest challenge, like I said, it was financially, trying to get the money to get started and understanding what it means to budget and, you know, use these funds for that purpose. But as long as you stick to it and you believe in it, you know, it's going to come to fruition. But it's really, you have to develop your plan and stick to your plan, first of all.
Good stuff. So this is my question. I want to get to the meat of it now. You have a movement. You're pushing this movement. It's basically Live Your Dream. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
So with the Live Your Dream movement, you know, people hear you like, okay, yeah, Live Your Dream, that sounds positive, cool. But she ain't been through what I've been through.
Now, right.
I'm from an urban community. An urban community basically is a nice way of saying ghetto. And there's a lot of people, they feel that there's no reason that they should have faith in God or they should continue to persevere because their environment is dictating their mindset. And their mindset is very negative. With that being said, I would love for you to share your testimony, your story. Why is it? What makes you believe that living your dream is possible? What have you been through that I can relate to saying, oh, you know what, I can come up to?
Well, believe it or not, I grew up in the hood as well. But the accomplishments that I can speak of is doing the opposite of what I saw. Despite what I was surrounded by, the drugs, the violence, or whatever it was, I found my outlet in writing. Writing is literally what saved me from, you know, being shot or whatever happened, you know, under those circumstances. You have to find something that you're passionate about, something that you love to do that can kind of be your distraction from those things.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people struggle with finding their purpose. And as long as you pray about it and ask God, you know, what is it that I was born to do, He will reveal it to you because a lot of people don't know what that is. People are just, you know, living day to day thinking that, you know, it's not going to jobs, 9 to 5, working 9 to 5 and doing regular, normal, you know, robot things. It's, you really have to find what it is that you were born to do because everyone was born to do something. I think being surrounded by those things, although I was discouraged a lot, because I had that outlet, I had something that I could believe in and reach out to that could, you know, I could say, this is my escape, this is my way out. And I was actually the first grandchild on my mom's side to be able to go to college and graduate from college and be doing something better with myself and to be successful. So I serve as the example not only in my family, but people who know me personally can actually attest to what I've been through, how I struggled with my self-confidence, like I said, and believing in myself in the beginning. You know, it's really, it really starts with that belief and your faith and knowing that God has a purpose for your life.
Oh, okay. All right, you got our attention. All right, let's see if you can keep our attention. Let's hear a piece from your book. Let's hear something, some kind of poem or something. You got something.
All right, I'll do one of my my writer poems. It's called Spellcheck, and I wrote this poem because I was scrolling through Facebook one day, and, you know, you're scrolling through your newsfeed, and you're seeing a lot of negative things, but because I'm a writer, I notice misspelled words a lot. So it kind of irks me to see so many, you know, uneducated people, you know, just scrolling down my newsfeed. So I wrote this piece called Spellcheck, and it goes, there's more to writing than organized words. While studying adjectives, nouns, predicates, and verbs, I've learned how to manipulate the English language in order to be heard. I'm superb, known to irk nerves, by constantly correcting those who incorrectly infer that there means there and where means where. Misplaced letters make a big difference, but illiterate misfits seem to forget this, and it pisses me off. In those oddly arranged sequences, meanings are lost, and I pay the cost for writing your flaws. Careless errors, T's left uncrossed. Time is no factor, it takes just a second to pause and execute the rules of grammar you were taught. Silly mistakes have brought this issue to my attention. Proofread your words out loud and listen. Add commas when they're missing. A period to end that sentence. This problem is worth fixing, so let's focus on nipping it in the bud. Because I'm exhausted and tired of going above and beyond, editing lengthy run-ons, incomplete thoughts that don't make sense, improper past and present tense, no capitalization or punctuation, a problematic situation, unbelievable crisis we're facing. If we continue misguiding the proper laws of writing. If you're easily offended and my rant gets you fired up, I'm not a fighter, but take this as a verbal tongue-tied punch. Next time you're stuck, down on your luck, thinking way too much, about to give up, take a breath, count to two, then ask yourself, what in the world would a writer do? Spell check.
That's
good. You know, We got those guys are pretty rowdy. Sorry.
It was funny that you did that last week. Not last week. It was the week before last. Yeah, the week before last. We had another poet on here that you know, Ant, and Lamont was talking about how, man, people just write. They just think you can rhyme and they just write. Like,
hey,
why people don't have an education on it? He went off. Lamont went off. Like, you know how Lamont go off.
Yeah. People are weird, man. They think, like, because, you know what, I'm not going to say weird. It's sad because, like, this generation coming up, they really don't, they're not learning how to spell.
Right.
Everything is abbreviated, you know? Everything is short, and, you know, the way they text, the way you hit the message on tweet and Facebook, by the time they get to a regular paper, they don't know what to do.
Right.
You know, so, and that's a pretty interesting piece that you just did. That's right on the money. Because, I mean, yes, you see it all the time. And you wonder if, like, people can actually spell.
Right. And they don't know it, but they're being judged. You know, the way that you communicate, people can tell a lot about you. So spell correctly is what I try to ask people close enough to where they want to spell correctly, even though they don't think it's important. I think it is, not just because I'm a writer, but because, you know, it's just, you know, presenting yourself professionally always is just the right thing to do. So,
so we're curious, speaking for the audience, we're curious now. We want to know, what do you have going on? Is there any events there, tour? What's up? We want to find out how we can come and buy your book or come see you in action.
Well, like I said, my company, it has a publishing branch to it. Not only did I publish my poetry book, but I have my first author that I helped publish, and her book signing is actually coming up next Saturday, March 2nd, and it's actually at the poetry spot that we attend on Mondays, Three Layers. It's from 2 to 4, so she'll be there speaking about her book that I helped her with. It took us about 7 months to complete the project, from editing and formatting and just getting everything together. And the book is called P.S. Never Give Up Hope. And she actually she corresponded with about 10 juvenile offenders. And over the course of 2 years, she had been writing them letters. And she contacted me to help her turn those letters into a book. So the book is basically promoting the concept of hope and not only letting these youthful offenders know that there's a life after their incarceration, but letting current juveniles who are getting in trouble that are not currently incarcerated, you know, to keep them on the right track and to inspire them to have the right attitude and the right behaviors so they don't end up where these people have ended up. So it's really a positive movement on her side as well, and I've assisted her with that. And hopefully she'll become a future best-selling author as well with my assistance. So my whole movement is just about helping everyone else live their dream. It's not just about me living my dream, but inspiring other people to do what they love to do and really just make a difference, you know. If you're not, my main quote that I always use is, if you're living without giving, your talents are null and void. And that really just means that, like I said, you were born to do something. If you're not utilizing that gift that God has given you, you know, you really have no reason to be living, to put it boldly, because God has given you a gift and it's up to you. It's your duty. It's your responsibility to use that gift to make a difference in someone else's life. So other than that, book signing, I'm finishing up my novel. It's going to be released this summer. I have not released the release date yet, but coming soon, sometime in the next coming weeks, I will be releasing the date. And the book is called Dearly Beloved Sisters. I actually started writing it last January, so it's been a lifelong project, it seems. But I spent the whole year last year writing a page a day. And my original deadline was in December 31st, 2012. But I actually had to go over that deadline to make sure that the book is going to be what I want it to be. So I'm currently in the process of revising it, organizing the scenes, you know, so that it makes sense to my readers. And I'll be sending it off to my editor, hopefully, by the end of March. And it'll be in the hands of my following in summertime. And this is really going to catapult me as an author, I believe. My poetry book was my introduction. My novel is pretty much, you know, my foundation. So my ultimate goal is to become a best-selling writer, best-selling author before I turn 30. And if I get a writing contract off of my first novel, it'll definitely be a dream come true. So that's pretty much what I have going on, just promoting my projects, helping other clients, doing any type of writing or editing service. So I'm always, always on my writer grind, doing something dealing with writing.
Awesome.
Now, before you answer that, we have listeners from all over the world. You definitely will have to give us exact address. What city are you in? What is the address of this poetry spot that the book signing is going to be at, and where you perform at Monday nights?
Okay, I am in Jacksonville, Florida. The poetry spot that I attend every Monday is Verbal Essence. It's at Three Layers, 1602 Walnut Street. It's every Monday at 7 p.m. I'm usually there performing and promoting my book. There are a lot of other poetry spots I try to attend. There's the Cypher on Thursdays at 9. And my website is www.iwriteforyou.com. And I Write For You is spelled IWRITE, the number 4, OR, the letter U.com. And on my website, you can find out more information about me. A lot of my published articles are on there, the services that I provide. I'm always available via text message or email. So if anyone wants to reach out to me for a service or just to, you know, reach out for any advice, I'm always available to guide others and give assistance to anyone who needs it. And the book signing, again, is going to be at that location, Three Layers, 1602 Walnut Street, from 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, March 2nd.
Great. Do you mind sharing your email? So maybe you have some potential clients that are listening right now.
Yes. My email is iwriteforyou@gmail.com. Again, iwriteforyou is spelled creatively, I-W-R-I-T-E, the number 4, O-R, the letter U, at gmail.com.
Great. What were you asking, Lamont?
No, I was just going to ask, okay, as a writer, I write a lot myself.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the last thing you said.
But what is your process?
Oh, my process? Oh, I'm always, always writing. It initially starts with jotting down an idea. With poetry, it's a lot easier for me to get it out because I usually just write a line and I try to think of something else that goes along with that idea and, of course, try to make it rhyme. But with my novel, it's been pretty complicated because not only do you have to develop your characters, you have to develop scenes, and the overall plot has to make sense, and everything has to kind of match up and go together. So when I started writing my novel, the idea actually came to me my senior year of college, and before I graduated, I had this plan to actually spend my first year out of college working on my novel, but of course I had to get a job, so I kind of got sidetracked. But when I initially started writing it last year, the process began with me outlining it and developing my characters and then just going back and free writing and then going through the free writes to kind of expand on those scenes and really make it make sense. My novel is actually, I don't want to give too much away, but it's full of secrets pretty much, and it's full of clues using S words throughout. And the S words will kind of lead you to what's going to happen at the end. And I kind of add poetic concepts and creativity to it that way by using the S words. And once people read it, they'll understand what I mean by the poetic connections. But my process is really just writing. You know, you just have to write and get it out. A lot of people spend too much time thinking about what they want to write. But when you actually sit down and just start writing, that's when it starts to flow. And I always preach to people about, people tell me, oh, I don't have enough time or I can't do this and that. You have to make time for it because I work a full-time writing job and I do my business on the side and I write books and I publish books and I promote on the side. So I'm constantly doing something dealing with this. I hardly sleep because I'm really technically, you know, I'm passionate about this and I'm living my dream. So there's really no time for sleep when you're doing what you love to do. So outside of, you know, my writer grind, I'm still writing. So the process really just starts with writing.
Beautiful.
Sounds good.
Before we let you go, I got the money question of the night. Are you ready?
Yes.
People always get nervous. They tense up right here. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Can you, or should I say, do you know how to fry chicken?
To fry chicken? Of course.
Now, anybody can just throw a chicken and some flour and throw it in the grease, and it might come out crunchy. But we talking about like that real good, like, you know, if I come over and eat, like, I probably want to come back again kind of chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can fry some good chicken, I think.
You think? All right, see, we're doing this. I'm doing this big old thing. We're going to get all the artists together in the middle of the country, and we're going to have fried chicken, and everybody's going to be performing and stuff. And I need to know if you're ready to be on this kind of stage.
Well, do I have to fry the chicken myself, or?
Or you'll be a member of the frying.
Okay, okay. So I have to give away my secret.
No, you don't have to. I mean, you can have your little corner to yourself.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a pretty good chicken fryer, I guess.
What do you think, Lamont?
I don't know. She didn't sound like she believes in that.
You're not confident enough. You might have to be in the audience.
I don't think she's confident in that cooking tactics. I don't think she's sure about that. Yeah, are you sure you can cook chicken?
Huh?
Your microphone went out, bro.
Are you sure you can cook chicken?
Yes, I'm sure. That's one of the first things I learned how to cook.
And we harder on her about the chicken instead of the book.
You said what?
I said we way harder on her about the chicken instead of the book.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Chicken is a beast. You gotta make sure you know how to cook it, man. No, we just about to watch you. She's like, look, no, don't tell everybody. No, we definitely appreciate you calling in. We definitely.
Thank you guys for having me. Can I give one more shout out? I forgot to say the name of my poetry book.
Definitely.
Yeah. Go ahead.
My poetry book is Amateur Thoughts, and it's also available on my website. It'll soon be available in ebook format. The book is currently available for $12 plus tax and shipping if you order it on my website. Again, the book is really inspirational. It's full of my poetry from age 12 through 21. So it's a full scope of what my life has been like from then up until age 21. And again, my poetry book is Amateur Thoughts. My novel is coming soon, Dearly Beloved Sisters. And my first published author, her book signing is next Saturday. Her book is P.S. Never Give Up Hope. And I like to encourage everyone to live your dream, never give up, and always keep God first.
All right.
Hey, do you have a Facebook or a Twitter so people can like your page or follow you?
Yes. Facebook.com/ I Write For You. And again, I must spell I Write For You the correct way. It's IWRITE, the number 4, OR, the letter U. My Twitter is @IWriteForYou_LRW. And it's also the same for Instagram @IWriteForYou_LRW. So I'm on every social media network, and you can contact me online at any time.
Great. All right. There you have it. Well, thank you for taking your time on this Sunday evening. And we definitely would love to have you back, okay? See, the dog pound love you too. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
She's great. She's great people.
Yeah. Let me say this while we're on the air. I got to say this while we're on the air before we move anything. Now, I did mention I have a crush on her. If my girlfriend is listening, you have my attention.
Yeah.
Please don't.
I swear. Yeah.
Call me.
Yeah, about that.
Going off. I love my girlfriend, y'all. So, you know, ease up.
Wow. Yeah, you did say that.
You know.
You did. So, So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a break here because I need to go grab some water for my throat or some orange juice. And we're going to listen to a little of Mario Brown Glory. And then we'll come back. Were we even done with our current event?
Yeah, it's time to move on.
Yeah, it was time. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to play a little Mario Brown Glory. And then we'll be back. And I'll be back with a better throat, hopefully. Yeah. I guess that sounds right. Okay.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for you, I'd still be standing in the middle of the road, lost and confused. When you had a plan for me and I never knew, but now I'm living all for your glory. I found my purpose in you. That's why I'm telling everyone my story. I wanna blow my trumpet for you.
There you have it. Mario. Yeah, Mario Brown.
And Mario's so cool, man. That's the cool brother. Like, definitely support this artist, Mario Brown. His album is in stores. He's doing some big things. I fully believe in, you know, supporting one another, especially when they're real. When the artist is real and authentic about who they are, what they're doing it for, and what they're standing for, I definitely support Mario Brown, Mario J. Brown.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is. Time for us to talk about some weird things that's happening in the news. You know, Lace, he comes with the real stuff. This stuff is real too. But, ladies and gentlemen, this stuff is... This is the bomb. This stuff is the bomb. It's real. It's real, though. Check this out. It's really crazy. All right, now, it says, Dear Prudence, letter writer claims his wife is his sister.
What? You heard I said that? What?
Yes. Yes. Here it is. Woman has reportedly just found out that he and his wife, the mother to his three children, are half-siblings, but has yet to tell her the news.
Hmm.
In a Dear Prudence letter, a husband tells Slate.com that he and his wife were both born to lesbians, he to a single woman and she to a couple. Unlike his wife, who he met her biological father when she was 18. The man never felt the need to find his sperm donor until recently. His findings have left him in turmoil. It turns out his mother and his wife's mothers had gone to different sperm banks. But as the man writes, it appears so did our father. He describes his anxiety in telling his wife and even that he is considering keeping the discovery a secret. I can't help but think this is my sister every time I look at her now. I think there's way... Uh-oh, hold on one second. We have a caller on the line. Let's go to the lines real quick. Caller, you're on the air with the Covenant Cafe. All right, the line dropped. Okay, here we go. It says, I think there's way too much emphasis put on DNA, she writes. Yes, you too will... have had a shock, but when it wears off, you will be the same people you were before you found out. Okay, this caller is calling back. Hold on, let's go back. Let me see what's going on here. Caller, you're on the... Okay, it hung up again. I'm not sure what's going on here. Okay, I hope that's not our other guest calling, and I can't get him on here. So pretty much she also discusses how, or rather if the pair should relay the news to their children. Because the writer is anonymous, skepticism surrounds the letter. One Dear Prudence reader suggests that the story is a fiction pushing a political agenda. That could be interesting as well. They acknowledge the chance for a fake, but asserts that she rarely publishes stories that wind up being false. In the past few years, the sperm bank industry has experienced controversy quite often. Most recently, one sperm donor in Kansas had to fight in an effort to force him to pay child support for a child conceived. Remember that? We talked about that.
Yep.
By a lesbian couple. Okay, and then one more, and then said more famously, a scandal ensued in 2011 when the New York Times reported that that one man fathered 150 children through sperm donation. Now, how do we feel about this here?
All right, so this is my thing. Okay, I disagree with, you know, she said the DNA. You know, if DNA, you know, you still got the same feelings, you know, as she said. My thing is, like, it's tough. It's real tough. Like, but the thing, it's like this. It's like I'm doing something wrong, but I don't know what's wrong. And then the moment I find out that it's wrong, it's up to me to do right about it because now I'm held accountable. You know, this is typical. So the same thing as far as it's tough. Because, you know, you fell in love and then you have kids and, you know, if I had this information, because my spouse, this is the whole thing about marriage. The thing about marriage is the two flesh become one where, you know, my business is your business is my business. I am obligated to tell you as my spouse. He is obligated to tell her, you know, to my findings, I believe there's a great possibility that you are my sister. Where do we go from here? Because since he's trying to figure this out by himself, of course, it is tormenting him. And it goes so deep because now you have the young lady, the woman, who does not know this information. She's wondering to herself if her husband still finds her attractive because she doesn't know what's going on. Or is my husband cheating on me because he won't come near me? Or he's explaining when he comes around me now. What is my husband doing? So now you got too many things that's going on. It is important, regardless of what it may do to the marriage, communication is still important.
Yes.
The Bible talks about how serious love is long-suffering. Love endures all. So if you truly love someone, and I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about agape. I'm not talking about a lustful love. But if you truly love somebody and you have the best intentions for them, there is no way that you can hold back a secret this great. As far as the kids go, that's even harder, but maybe at a certain age, you tell them. Like, I wouldn't tell, would you tell a 7-year-old or 8-year-old versus a 16-year-old?
Okay, yeah, there's a way to tell, but not in the same way.
Right.
You have to dumb it down.
You're a kid, and, you know, Pop says, you know, your mom is my sister. I mean, he says it in a certain way, but your mom is my sister. Now, you are, like, what do you tell the kid from this point? Like, because if he, word gets out, you know, kids are mean, you know, then he slips out and says, well, my mommy and my daddy, they're together, so why? Because kids don't understand everything. So at a young age, in their mind, well, I guess it's okay for siblings to do things. Because, mind you, they have more than one, right? So what if there's a brother and sister? Two boys and a girl, something like that. In their mind, it must be okay.
Yeah.
I think
I
feel timing is everything on that.
You're absolutely right. Timing is everything. Like I said, there's a certain way you have to tell them. I definitely would have told my bride. I definitely told her. I know this is kind of weird, but this is what I found out.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I'd rather
figure this thing out together.
Yeah. You know, we had to deal with the children accordingly.
Yeah.
On the same page, not on a separate page.
Yes.
Wow, that's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
Now let's go. You know what? I'm going to go to this one. We're going to do this one first. second, excuse me. Four students arrested in Egypt for Harlem Shake. Egyptian police said Saturday they have arrested four students who filmed themselves publicly dancing in their underwear as more people around the world emulate a viral dance craze called the Harlem Shake. The four pharmaceutical students shocked residents of a middle-class Cairo neighborhood when they removed most of their clothes and videotaped themselves performing the pelvis thrusting dance, a police officer official said. The hostile audience tried to assault the students who are accused of committing a scandalous act. Egypt has strict public strict public indecency laws. Okay. Some Egyptians have posted videos of themselves on YouTube doing the Harlem Shake in front of the pyramids, one of them dressed in a white underwear and a bow tie, dances while riding a camel. The dance craze was sparked by a group of Australian teenagers who uploaded a 31-second clip, the Harlem Shake, onto YouTube earlier this month and has since been viewed almost 16 million times.
Mm.
Yeah, so you might want to keep your clothes on, ladies and gentlemen.
What trips out these different fads that's going on? Like, you remember it was planking.
Mm-hmm.
Remember planking when you lay down. And it's crazy. People don't know the meaning behind these different fads. You know, planking is something they did on slave ships.
Yeah.
And it was being brought over. Then you got owling. And now
I heard that. What was owling?
it's ignorant. Like, basically, you get perched. You perch like an owl, like a bird, on something. Like, say, you saw him planking. People would be planking in the streets, or they'd be planking on crazy stuff, basketball goals, all kind of things.
Yeah.
Well, in this thing, you know, picture a bird, how an owl sits on a streetlight. Well, now you got people doing that on cars, people doing it on poles, basketball goals, whatever they can get on as well, just like how they're planking. And so now this Harlem Shake thing. And the thing about the Harlem Shake is people from Harlem, from what I'm hearing, they're pissed because they don't know the true essence of the Harlem Shake, where it originated and what it means to them. So now that it's a viral dance and people just doing it and taking pictures and, you know, treating it like some fad, they're angry about it.
Mm.
And it's just crazy how things just catch. Just catch on.
Yeah.
No kind of conscious. It's close to disturbing to me. It's not even close. It is disturbing to me. Especially when I found out, you know, when I first started seeing my dog, my homeboy showed me planking, pictures of people planking. You know, I chuckle like that. They're people stupid. They're ignorant. Because I'm not going to do that. And then I really thought of planking. So I looked it up. And then when I saw what it really means, I'm like, do you understand the magnitude to this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. Now, here's a little cute. This is something really, I had to go on the cute side for this one. This is weird baby names and the stories behind them. Okay, this is going down. We're going to do the baby names. Baby names seem to get stranger every day, but what are the weirdest baby names, tales of all? Crazy name stories come from Hollywood and beyond stem from misguided parents, illogical bureaucrats, and influences beyond human understanding. They involve money, ego, publicity, lawsuits, and the forces of destiny. 10 weirdest baby names, name stories. Everybody familiar with George Foreman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. George Foreman may be a multi-dimensional in his professional life, but the championship boxer, food grilling Visionary has a one-track mind when it comes to baby names. Foreman named all five of his children after himself and also named one of his six daughters, Georgetta. How does the family tell all of those Georges apart? You know, that's just interesting, okay? Big Joey, Little Joey, then the story goes on. All right, going to move on. Dweezil Zappa may have one of the original Dweezil Zappa.
Okay.
Yes.
That's all one name? Like, that's just his first name or his last name?
His first name and his last name.
Oh,
and his parents,
Zappa.
Yeah, his parents are Frank Zappa. Oh. And his wife, of course, is Gail. They named Ian Donald Calvin Euclid. There you go. Jesus. And nicknamed him Dweezil. So they nicknamed him Dweezil, and it stuck with him. That was, I don't know why I couldn't say that. That was ridiculous. Now, the next name. In Iceland this year, Blair, who won the right to use her given name, which had been disallowed by the government, which decreed it a boy's name. But the 15-year-old had been called Stuka. I can't pronounce this today. I'm having trouble. Stukla, or girl, on her official documents. So her name was actually girl for a while.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to do a couple more, and then we're going to move on. The digital age has put its viral stamp on the baby naming practices with children over the past several years, named like Facebook, Google, Apple, and late last year via Twitter, hashtag or maybe, pound. How do you spell it? Let's keep going. Let me see. Okay, here we go. Director Robert Rodriguez, we are familiar with his film work, has four sons named Racer, Rocket, Rebel, and Rogue. Really? That's really that's interesting. How you name your job?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That reminds me of, you ever seen Talladega Nights?
Yes.
And he named his kid Walker Texas Ranger, and he named it.
Absolutely.
People get carried away.
These stories go on. Director Ron Howard gave his four children middle names inspired by the places they were conceived. Mm-hmm. Bryce Dallas was named for the Texas city. And twins, Paige Carlisle and Jocelyn Carlisle, got their names, middle names, from the New York's Carlisle Hotel. His son, Reed Cross, was named for a London street because Howard had been quoted as saying, Volvo isn't a very good middle name. I don't know, whatever that meant. Okay, let's move on. Let's see. Okay, let's go. It was another one I wanted to share with you guys. I guess Freakonomics. Check this out. Now, this says, in a story quoted in Freakonomics, some magazine, two New York brothers named Winner and Loser, and a word not
winner who reportedly got his name thanks to his father's love of baseball, fell into a life of crime while his brother's loser, named to balance out winner, graduated from college and became a police sergeant. So,
come on. Why would you even do that to your kids?
A winner and loser. And that's it for the names, ladies and gentlemen. Winner and loser. How are you gonna name your child winner and loser? And they turned it out the exact opposite. And ironic.
Oh. This is my thing. I wanted to mention it on the name thing when you said about some names were declared a boy's name and a girl's name. There are some names that I feel is really tough. You probably shouldn't even think about touching it for some boys, even though it's a unisex name, such as Leslie. They say you can name the boy Leslie. I disagree.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with Jamie, but Jamie is really close to a female name. It's really close. But, you know, I have a problem with Jamie. You have, what are the names that are, close? Not really.
I think
Alex is closer to a boy, but it's still cool.
I think Leslie is the top of the top.
It's the top.
It's the top. As a guy, I want to be called Leslie. I'm sorry.
Me neither. Me neither.
Hey, Mr. Leslie. No, I just don't feel comfortable with being called Leslie. I won't feel comfortable. Yeah. All right, that's it for the weird news, ladies and gentlemen. So let's not come up with creative names for our children. Let's just name them. Just go in a book of names and then just name your child a regular name. Because what happens, you name your child Rocket. I mean, come on. Who's going to believe that? Rocket. That's my name, Rocket. That's just not cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do is go into another song, and we'll be back after these messages. Why I always want to say that? Be back after these messages as if I'm on TV or something.
Because it sounds good.
It sounds good, though.
It does. So,
all right, true. So what we're going to do is go into Kiki Shears, You Are, here on the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Step out, don't make some noise if you know God is good. Come on, let's celebrate. Here we go. One. Wonderful Counselor, Holy One.
Bread of Life, Savior, Redeemer.
You are
Wonderful Counselor, Holy One.
Jehovah Jireh, Elohim.
You are
High Priest and Heir of all living things.
Jehovah Jireh, Elohim.
You are
High Priest and Heir of all living things.
Attention all shoonistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe, your host Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
And if you're just tuning in, we've had some interesting conversations going on. We left off with baby names, which is interesting. And we talked to a wonderful writer, Book of Poetry,
Amateur Thoughts.
And then just talking about what's going on in the world. I mean, like, you know, everybody need to get on their A game and stop playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of interesting things going on around you. So you need to kind of get your spirits together and get spiritually fit instead of being concerned about physically fit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, you want to be physically fit, but spiritually you want to be fit even more so.
Right.
You know, so because if you're not, those demons are going to be, they're going to attack you regardless, especially if your spiritual, you're wearing your spiritual armor. And that's the more attraction for the enemy. You know, they got that armor on. And once you got your armor on, it's going to be coming, you know. Just like your everyday hater, you know. Once they start seeing you doing really well, people are like, people are just going to start knocking you for no reason, you know. In anything to put a negative edge on whatever you're doing positive.
Right.
So you definitely got to stand your ground big time.
It's amazing that you mentioned armor. You know, in Ephesians 6:10 and down, you know, it talks about, well, I'll read it, it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be stable and stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of age, against spiritual hosts.
Hold that thought. Let me go to the line real quick. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, line one. Okay. I'm not sure what's going on here today. Hello? Hello? Okay. I don't know what happened there, but okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I definitely was singing in the background, too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, continuing. We
talking about armor.
Okay. Again, spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand before, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having a shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all things, faith, the shield of faith, with which we'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, capital S Spirit, being watchful to this end, and in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's funny that he never said put on the back plate of sickness. You know, is that put on something on your back. And he's saying it because we should not have the intentions of turning our back to the devil. We should not be running from the devil. Like, we don't need no back plate for somebody to shoot arrows in our back, or because we're not going to turn to the devil. We're not going to run from the devil. We're not going to be so weak that we crumble when trials and tribulations come up or when temptations come around. All that.
Hold on, I got another caller here. Hold on, let's see what's going on here. Caller, you're on the air. Coming to cafe. I think someone's dialing that. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I think about, you know, a lot of our new listeners and as the audience. They call, and then, like, if you want to speak to the host, President One, and they just think, like, oh, President One, if you want to hear the host. I don't know. You know.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But, yeah, you're absolutely right about the armor. We should have to watch our back. You know, the armor is protecting your chest.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You should have to look over your shoulder in that respect if you're going to put on your armor and you're going into battle.
You're going into battle. And the thing is that, even so, the helmet, that's your mind. We gotta guard our mind. We allow so much stuff to download in our mind, if you really think about it. Remember when Grand Theft Auto came out and they were talking about so many kids were shooting or killing or, you know, getting involved in drugs and stuff, young kids. And they were blaming it on the video game, of course. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is that, you know, that's a message inside itself. Like, we have to be cautious of what we allow to get to our minds. You know, certain TV shows, certain music we listen to, certain movies we watch, certain people we let influence our lives. Because if we don't have our helmets on our heads, we're going to just get filled up with so much nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a battle, like you said. It's really, you know, God taking the shield of faith. You know, you need that. Because if you just walk around here with no kind of guard, you're just going to get blown away by every single doctrine that comes. Like, one day you believe that, oh, yeah, there's a living God and his son died for us. But you don't got no faith shield. So the next day you believe that some guy who got a word from Gabriel, Muhammad got the word from Gabriel at the mountain that he has the final doctrine. So now the doctrine of Jesus Christ don't mean nothing to you because you never had a shield to protect yourself, to guard yourself from all this other doctrine. So now you fall on that. Then the next day you hear somebody say, you know, peace. We need, you know, peace and tranquility and, you know, meditation. And, you know, Buddha can show you this. So next thing you know, you're on another religion. And then somebody come and tell you that, it ain't nothing going on. You know, we were just created, we evolved from apes. Now you believe, now you atheist. Because you never took a shield of faith. You never rooted. You never put yourself in a position of battle, like you said. Dirt in your feet. How is your walk? What is your walk like? Are you walking what you're supposed to be believing? Are you walking this out? Do you have a sword? Is your word of God with you at all times?
Do you have access to the Word of God? Is your heart pure? Are you willing to accept what God has to say to you? I mean, these are the things that are kicking ourselves, to be honest with you. One day we on fire, and the next day we lukewarm, and the next day we cold, and next thing you know, God ain't real because I ain't get a car. Are you serious? These are the things I've literally heard and seen. And we've taken this loss because we will not, like you said, we will not put armor on. We will not guard ourselves. Shoot, not even that. We might even put the armor on, but we turn our back to the enemy. Easy. So we getting stabbed. We getting ran through. Easy. Not to mention the last part of that, verse 18 said, praying always. So after you put the armor on, you got to pray. So having armor on is not enough. We still got to pray. Yeah, I don't watch certain TV shows, and, you know, I stay away from certain people. Well, what's your relationship with God like? True enough, you're away from that negative atmosphere, but are you talking to God? Are you studying His Word? Are you praying? What are you doing to equip yourself? What are you doing to get that character molded? Now, I mean, Christianity is not for punks. I mean, just to keep it real, Christianity is, we live in this. It's a daily fight because we're daily getting tugged. You know, we're spirits and vessels that are corrupted. So daily we have temptations, and temptations are not just lust, like the lust of sex, but also the lusting for money, the lusting for attention, the lusting of pride, the lusting of food. No, daily we are dealing with things that we don't take as serious as we should. It's a daily, daily, daily battle, and we have to gird ourselves with armor, and we have to start digging deeper in His Word. So it's, you know, it's amazing that you just mentioned that, bro.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, like you said, if you're not rooted, you're definitely going to sway with the wind very easily. And it's not going to take nothing. It's just like a child. When a child is born and they start walking and crawling, their surroundings, they're consumed with their surroundings. So whatever their surroundings is, that's what a child is going to develop into. You know, so if your belief is going to sway just like a child's mind, you have to be careful. You know, you definitely have to be careful because there's so many religions out there, so many not just religions, the way people believe and what they believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so much. So if you're new to, okay, I need to find myself, I need, you know, is Christianity the one, just read the book. Look through the book. Just look. And pay attention to what's going on. And talk to some people that's going to lead you into the right direction.
That's one of the realest things you can say. That is be true. A lot of times we lean to our own understanding. A lot of times we pick up the Bible and we just read it, and sometimes we get frustrated because we don't understand anything because we didn't figure it out for ourselves. But truth be told, like, God gave us people. The Bible says He gave us pastors, prophets, evangelists, apostles, et cetera, bishops, et cetera. So there are people who are ordained or who God has called to help you along your way to understanding the Word. If you try to teach yourself, you will crumble. Because some of these scriptures, like Hebrew text and Greek text, they don't mean the same thing that it means in English. So now you're twisting scripture up. And you thinking, now, like, you know, I like, example, you know, the Bible says if you ask, you shall receive, right? Mm-hmm. So now you got everybody saying, God, you said if I ask, I shall receive. I want this car, and you said it now. And you should give it to me. And then you don't get it. Now you feel that God's a liar. But truth be told, Jesus is talking about if you ask for the Holy Spirit, you shall receive it. And it's like I would tell anybody, the more time you spend with any person, with anybody, the more you start acting like them. And then the more same, you start wanting things like them. Like my coaches, when I used to be around my basketball coaches, football coaches, they want to win. The more that I started being around them, I was driven to win. So settling getting playtime or settling for a trophy that you get at the end of the year regardless wasn't enough. I won a championship now.
So the same thing, much time you spend with God, when you're asking for his Holy Spirit, you're asking for the things that he wants to give you. Because you spend so much time with him, you're starting to be accord with him. So the things that God desires, you're starting to want that. So, yeah, he's going to give you what you're asking for because it's what he wants to give you.
Mm-hmm.
It's way deeper than, you know, just everybody just saying, quoting scripture and not even knowing what it really means, what's going on behind the scripture. And
absolutely,
that's why I say teaching. You can't just open a Bible, quote a good scripture, and think you're anointed.
Oh,
man.
Hey, where's Tim? I'm about to get in my soapbox. Ladies and gentlemen, okay, let's. I want to take it here because there are a lot of people who quote left and right, and the thing is, some people feel that they, because they quote left and right, believe that they're the most holier than thou there is. And it's not true. Remember, my biggest pet peeve. You know what you came. You know where you came from. So if someone around you is struggling, don't look at them like it's something wrong with them. Help them. Help them.
Mm.
I mean, I've seen people who act like they come from the. Come from dirt.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All of us had some type of issue that we've been saved from. Or if not, you know, we still know, okay, well, this guy here or this girl here or lady or whatever needs help. Sometimes some people don't need, people you say Bible thumper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people don't need that. Some people just need you to talk to them, and then you feed it to them. I mean, because, like, if your house just got broken into, and then you sitting on your porch, and someone comes up to you, hey, you know, just to start quoting scripture. I don't quote scripture left and right, you know, because I'm not that talented. But however, you know, the Lord is your confidence and shall keep my feet from being snared. Like, how? What do you come? Somebody's broken my house. What are you talking about? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people just going to quote scripture for everything, and sometimes you just need to be helped. You know, you need to be helped. You follow what I'm saying? Am I making sense?
Yeah, you're making. I'm learning that even more firsthand. Like it's getting deeper with. You know, you can tell somebody all day. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Absolutely.
You can. That's what it says. And true. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But we got to take things deeper as far as walking people with the process. I'm mentoring this young man, and his whole life he's been molested and abused and belittled and everything like that, like deep. So he doesn't know what it takes to be a man. Mind you, he is of age to be a man, but his mind is still as a child. So when dealing with that, mentoring, you know, this young man, even though it may be through via telephone or even Facebook, however we can communicate, the thing is I have to understand that he needs help. He needs a walking through, because I can tell him scriptures, but he doesn't understand the scriptures. He didn't grow up in church. He's just now meeting God. So he doesn't understand it. So I have to walk him through. I have to take my time, and I have to take advantage of every opportunity, because I don't see him. I barely see him as it is. And Facebook, Twitter, whatever it can be to communicate with him, I have to have the understanding that how I speak to him is going to mean a lot, because he's been abused. So I can't be too aggressive, because he automatically shut down. So there is a walking through, and you're right, there is a patience, there is a walking, there is understanding, there is a, like you said, my house just got broken into, man, I ain't trying to hear that. Well, you know, okay, well, you, all right, I understand, what's this vent? Vent to me. Talk to me. Let's just talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, and then the Holy Spirit reveals so much things. That's what I've learned. You know, be slow to speak and quick to listen. You can just start talking, like, somebody call you, man, somebody send you a text, man, somebody broke up my house. And you call them. Well, did you leave your doors unlocked? Why did you do, man, bruh? the problem's done. That's not going to help me by you nagging me. So instead of quick nag, you call, he, well, what happened? You know, talk to him, what's going on? And he starts telling you. And as he's talking and as you're hearing it, you start to hear the spirit, what's really good? Well, you know, brother, these kind of things happen when you mess with people that's foul, or these kind of things happen when you leave your doors unlocked, or these kind of things happen, bro. You know, it's not your fault. It happens. Life happens, you know, but the thing is we're going to persevere from here on out. You know, we're going to do better. Let's look into maybe getting an alarm system or, you know, or something. Just basically talking to them in a way like, okay, let's keep your head up, man. You know, the Bible talks about this. The Bible says these are going to happen. So we're going to be strong and we're going to persevere through it.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean that's there it is. Now, what I'm going to do is get into a story here. One of our inspirational short stories. Check this out. Now, remember, my disclaimer is, I did not write this. Or Lace did not write this.
I didn't.
It comes from inspirationalpoems.net. Okay? All right? So it's not me. All right. Now, the name of this story is called The Burning Hut. Hang on 1 second. We have, okay, I don't know what just happened. My line lit up and then it went out again. Okay, so it says The Burning Hut. Okay. The only survivor of a shipwreck was washed up on a small, uninhabited island. He prayed feverishly for God to rescue him. And every day he scanned the horizon for help, but none seemed forthcoming. Exhausted, he eventually managed to build a little hut out of driftwood to protect him from the elements and to store his few possessions. But then one day, after scavenging for food, he arrived home to find his little hut in flames, the smoke rolling up to the sky. The worst had happened. Everything was lost. He was stunned with grief and anger. God, how could you do this to me? He cried. Early next morning, however, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island. It had come to rescue him. How did you know I was here? Asked the weary man of his rescuers. We saw your smoke signal, they replied. It is easy to get discouraged when things are going bad. But we shouldn't lose heart because God is at work in our lives. Even in the midst of pain and suffering, remember, next time your little hut is burning to the ground, it may just be a smoke signal that summons the grace of God.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty deep right there.
That's
you know, and he just when he thought he lost everything, I mean, he did lose everything at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how he was rescued.
Right.
You see, because they saw the wood burning, and they was able to come. And that's the same thing in life. Things happen. You may think the worst of it. We don't know. It may be a smoke signal. You know? You never know until it happens. And then you have it. Inspirational.net. I told you. Inspirationalpoems.net. So that's not my writing or poetics writing. Now, we actually in our last 10 minutes of our show, we were really expecting Mr. John P. Key to be calling in. Maybe some things come up. I was able to talk to our show director, and he did inform me that he was still supposed to be calling in. He informed me that about 10 minutes ago. like I said, maybe something came up. I'm not sure. Well, we definitely appreciate you guys listening and tuning in to the Covenant Cafe. Although this guy here is slightly under the weather, I'm doing a little bit better. Next week, I'll be doing 100% better. I'll be able to talk more clear and all that good stuff. So let's get into our words to live by for the week. And what is that?
Our words to live by for the week, it comes from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And mind you, I just, you know, asked the Lord whether he wanted me to give. And it's funny that I said that scripture not so long ago. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the thing is, what I want y'all to keep in mind, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, which means that we can overcome temptations. I run into a lot of people on a daily basis, some even who feel like they can quit smoking. They can't quit because they've been doing it for so long. Well, the scripture says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That means through Christ Jesus, you can overcome the bondage of smoking. You know, people who are sex addicts, you can back off. As y'all know, I'm 3 years abstinence from sex. I'm knocking on 4 years. It's very possible because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be an influence. You can be more than what your parents said you are not. Parents may have said that you ain't nothing. You work little. Well, the Bible says you can do all things through Christ. So you can accomplish so many goals in Jesus' name. Now, mind you, it says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So with that being said, learning who Christ is, there are certain things that you will not accomplish as far as, like, you know, your motive. Say, like, oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Man, I'm finna start a chain of trap houses. Like, what? You think God really wants you to do that? Like, really, what I'm basically getting is that, you know, according to God's will and purpose for your life, you can do all things. You are more than a conqueror. You have the strength to override the power of temptations and the trials and tribulations, the things that you think is about to kill you or hold you back from the greatness that God has written out of in your life. You actually can overcome that because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We kind of take that scripture for granted. We always use that. It's so, as an athlete, all my friends had the scripture either tatted on them, on a rubber band, written on their bags or shoes, because I was one that had it written on my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And we take it like, you know, yeah, I'm going to play really good because I can do all things through Christ strengthens me. Or I'm really strong because all things that Christ strengthens me. But we overlook that scripture as far as persevering. The scripture is really telling us that we can persevere through anything according to God's will for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
There's no temptation. There's no trial or tribulation that can defeat you. And it's important that we get that in our minds, get that in our souls, get that in our spirits, because we disregard the scripture when something happens. I don't know how I'm gonna pay my bills. I'm just gonna give up. I ain't eating several days, and it's over for me. But the Bible says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can persevere through this. You can actually rise up. You can actually rise up. So, you know, let's not take that scripture for granted in this upcoming week. Just know that it doesn't matter what comes your way, what obstacles in front of you. Whatever that God has poured in you according to his will, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I had to keep saying that scripture because being repetitive about things, it just tattoos on your brain. So I want to tattoo that.
Absolutely.
That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can definitely do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
There it is. And that's definitely it. Definitely it. What I like to do today, since we didn't have John P. Key on, I have a song, and we can close out with it. It's John P. Key in New Life, and the name of the song is Life in Favor. And it's just something for you to think about, and then you can get back with us on next Sunday, and you let us know how you feel. Before I go, I mean, like, not before I go, before we go, just like you said,
repetition is always good for the brain. It helps you remember things a lot, especially when you write it on different things, write it in different places. It's always helpful.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. It's the Covenant Cafe here. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And like I said, next time, hopefully John can hit us back. And we know people are really busy. It's all good. So like I said, life and favor, John P. Key and New Life here on the Covenant Cafe.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
My lowest.
You cannot imagine
the strongholds and the walls that
you but God has been faithful.
God has been faithful to me.
He promised.
They gave up on me, said I wouldn't make it.
have a testimony to sing this one. Look somebody in the face and say,
can't imagine what I'm going through.
God did it.
God did it.
Oh, God.